It's time to swing into the golf world of today with Springdale Golf Live, sponsored by our friends at the New Jersey Golf Foundation. Here's your host, Keith Stewart.
Members, friends, and players, good afternoon and welcome to Springdale Golf Live. It's Friday. Let's have some fun. Hit it, Al.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming.
There it is. I'm Keith Stewart, and I'll be here entertaining you this afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. You know, you can always catch us if you want to stream us online at 920thejersey.com. Just in case you miss us this afternoon, you can always listen to our podcast. Search for us, Springdale Golf Live, on iTunes or Google Play. And you know I love my social media, at KJPGA. Hit me up on Instagram or Twitter. Great job on the intro there, Al. Love it.
A lot of practice. I got it done.
All right. Imagine Dragons Thunder is our theme and song of the week. And one of the reasons I picked it is that, I don't know if you've noticed lately, Al, but it's been raining.
I have noticed that. I did hear some thunder.
A lot last night. Yeah, lightning and the thunder. Yeah. And you know what, though? I've looked at the eighth-day forecast coming ahead, and there is no more rain.
I hope you're right.
So hopefully Michael has rode the boat away and is gone, and you know, we're not going to have any more rain for the next couple of days, and we're going to have some fall temperatures. So I figured this morning when I woke up, and I thought that, you know, we were going to throw down a little thunder today. Mm-hmm. And part of our thunder is that in the second segment today, after the break, we're going to have Steve Scott on. Now, Steve Scott is a famous golfer, PGA professional now. He's a head professional of the Outpost Club, but he's been a head pro at a couple clubs up here in the New York Metro City area. You know, most famously known, he was the gentleman who lost in the amateur final in 1996 to one Mr. Tiger Woods.
Really?
And you know, they just had the 20th anniversary of that just 2 years ago. And okay. Steve's a very good friend of mine, and he's going to come on in the second segment. But for right now, we're going to get into what we like to do, or what I like to call a little tower talk, just to kind of go over what's been going on in the world in the week of golf and sports and the lifestyle that I have, known as the director of fun at Springdale Golf Club.
All right, bring us up to date.
Yeah, well, here we go. All right. Well, you may remember last week, right before the break, I talked about the Holes of Hope, or the golf marathon that I was going to do on Wednesday. Well, this past Wednesday. Mm-hmm. We did it on the 10th. And that I was going to play 100 holes of golf for two amazing charities. And the joint funds are going to be donated to our number one sponsor and our good friends at the New Jersey Golf Foundation. Mm-hmm. And also to a local charity, Christine's Hope for Kids. And Christine's Hope has earmarked those funds for their Golf in Schools program at the New Jersey Golf Foundation. And this was the eighth year that I did this marathon. And for four of the 8 years, I did 150 holes of golf.
Oh, wow.
But you may be getting younger, Al, but I'm not getting any younger.
No, not really.
I just did 100 on my own, mm-hmm. and my assistant staff did roughly another 75 holes. So we accumulated over 175 holes of golf played on Wednesday.
Wow.
My 100 holes took me, I started at 7:15 in the morning, and I got done about 2:45.
Oh, that's so not bad.
It wasn't bad at all. You know, we moved around great. All the members were cheering me on out there. It felt really good to do something like that. And of course, it benefits the New Jersey Golf Foundation, which, you know, it's interesting that I bring that up, because next week we're going to have a really special show for our lead sponsor, the New Jersey Golf Foundation. And mm-hmm. we're going to go on the road, pack us up, you know, get the Winnebago, you know, find the keys, turn her on, pack us up, and we're heading down 195 over to Jackson to Pine Barrens Golf Club, mm-hmm. right? Can't wait to go over there and see those guys. My good friend Brian DeMarco, I'm sure he's even listening now because he's an avid fan of the show. And we're going to go over there, and they're having a huge tournament for the New Jersey Golf Foundation called the Pine Barrens Cup, and they have it every year, right. and it's a big pro member, and it's a huge time. So they're going off at 10 a.m. next week, and at 3 o'clock when we have our show, mm-hmm. we're going to do it for an hour. They're going to be coming off the golf course, having their party. It is going to be a fantastic show next week.
I can't wait.
You know, obviously it pales in comparison to what we're about to do now, but next week it's going to be the best show we ever did.
Sure.
So, but getting back to that, the marathon this week is going strong. Mm-hmm. And I know last week you said some very nice words about what great community outreach it is. And truly it is. We've connected with the community in this endeavor for 8 years. And in the first 7 years, we've raised $85,000 for those two charities.
Fantastic.
And all of that money has gone towards underprivileged kids and the golf in schools programs that are run by the New Jersey Golf Foundation. And that's why we love them so much. They're growing the game and they're doing it. And Christine's Hope, again, earmarks that money that we donate to them for those programs, because that's what they believe in too, helping out underprivileged kids. So to date, as of 3 o'clock this afternoon, I just checked before I left the shop. We've raised just over $10,000 in the eighth edition.
Fantastic.
So here's the thing, right? And I don't want to sound greedy at all, but I start to see a bigger goal in mind.
Really?
And one of the things I always wanted to do was to try to raise $100,000 in as many years as it takes for both of these two fine foundations. Mm-hmm. And through 7 years, we were just over 85,000. Well, the 10 that we've raised this year has put us at 95,000.
Right.
So were we able to, I mean, that's really just, you know, another 25 to 50 people donating some money, $100, $200, $25, $50, whatever you can do. You can go to either one of their websites and then just go through PayPal and you can donate, or you can send a check to the club and I'll make sure they get it. But if we got to 100,000 in 8 years, that'd be quite a feat.
Oh yeah.
And something I'd be very proud of.
I'm sure you would.
Yeah. I would. It would be awesome. Yeah. But you know, and you know what? That would be some serious thunder.
That's true.
That would be lightning and the thunder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to get them $100,000 in 8 years would just be awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited. Speaking of our theme song, Thunder, is that it looks like the rain's done. We have beautiful fall weather today, beautiful fall weather coming up. You know, I hope all my listeners will be out playing golf this weekend. I think I might play a little golf this weekend now.
Okay.
You know, the most of the club events are in the rearview mirror for the season, and I play my best golf in the months of December and January, and I need to start getting prepped for that time of year when I am free to play. And I'm thinking I might tee it up this weekend.
Well, you know, I might too. I think I'll open my closet, find that little box and my little piece of green turf.
Yes.
And that plug it in the wall, shoots the ball back to me as long as I get it in there. I'm set.
I knew you were one of those guys.
I am.
I'm not putting you for money. That's for sure. You have that look in your eye, that steely look in your eye right now. Like, I'll take you down.
I could.
You know?
I could.
All right. It's been noted.
I have a quick question for you, though.
Shoot.
With your holes of hope.
Yes.
How many holes in one did you make?
I didn't make any holes in one.
Oh.
You know, I'm glad you asked that question. I had just over 400 shots played in my 100 holes.
Okay.
So an average of about 4 strokes a hole.
Yeah.
And I had at least somewhere in the ballpark of about, I want to say 15 birdies, something like that.
Okay.
So I was hitting a good, almost had one eagle, lipped out a putt, but it didn't work out. But, you know, overall.
I remember one time I almost had a duck, but.
No, Al.
It moved.
Al. You're getting confused, right? When you hit the ball,
yeah.
You don't yell duck, you yell four.
No,
all right, so you
me.
Don't have it. When someone yells duck and you hit the ball, that's not getting a duck.
You need
There's
duck
only birdies and eagles.
You need to duck when I hit the ball.
Yeah, for sure. All right, moving right along. We've got great weather.
Yep.
The Holes of Hope was a tremendous success, and you know the sponsorship lines are still open, so please hit us up if you can. And I want to get into some other bigger and better news. My fraternity, the PGA of America, announced something huge this week, Al, and that is they have signed a new deal with ESPN and CBS to have them host the PGA Championship moving forward in 2020.
Hmm.
So next year, TNT and CBS still will be hosting the PGA Championship when it moves from August to May. And going ahead, starting in 2020, for 11 years, ESPN will have the weekday coverage and CBS will maintain their relationship, which they've had for almost, I don't know, 25, 30 years with the PGA of America.
Right.
And they'll continue along those roads. So what's exciting about this and why I bring it up is that as I read through the press release, as a PGA member, as I read through the press release, the amount of detail with which they talked about what types of content would be available was just really, really eye-opening for me, because what I thought was interesting is that everything nowadays, they speak of it as content. They don't say, well, we're going to show this golf footage. There's no more footage. There's no more TV.
Right.
There's no more broadcast. Everything is thought of as content. And the content, they're going to put on 175 hours of content from Wednesday through Sunday. of this major. And it's kind of a neat little coup that CBS and ESPN pulled off, because now with the PGA moving to May, they're going to control the first and the second majors of the year. So they're going to have the two biggest golfing events on their stations in April and May to start the golf season. So it's almost going to seem like if there's a big golf event and you're on the periphery of the golf world, that's all CBS and ESPN does.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very interesting. And they get back into this content thing about how you're going to be able to stream it on your phones. And there's going to, you know, they already have an app. And I'm really, really proud of the PGA of America for stepping forward and making a multimedia event out of our largest championship, the PGA Championship, which is, you know, next year it's at Bethpage, but the next year, 2020, when they take over, it's going to be played at Harding Park in San Francisco, mm-hmm. which is a public golf course, which is like bringing it back to the people. Now they're sending the content to the people. I think this is really, really cool.
Yeah.
So you have the applause button?
I could in a minute.
All right, in a minute. Okay, fine. Well, I'll do it myself. I'm very happy and proud of the PGA America, so kudos. I know that you guys still haven't answered our voicemail from the 5 points of light to improve the Ryder Cup team, but we're going to try again, and we're going to be very nice this week, Al, you and I, and we're going to say, hey, kudos, great job signing that deal. And, oh, there they are. There they are. On cue, of course. On cue, yes, on cue. So one other thing. Before we get into our break, and then we bring Steve Scott on, it will be tremendous. He's an electric personality. You know, it's almost like when he gets on the mic, he brings the lightning and the thunder.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, he's just awesome. And I'm fired up to talk to him. But all week, I have people reach out to me on social media, or they shoot me emails at the club, members and such, or fans of the show, listeners, of which we have thousands. And I thank you so much all for tuning in each and every Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But people ask, they said, Keith, who are you? And, you know, in my best Roger Daltrey impression, who am I? Well, I decided that sometimes y'all ask me some questions about some different things, and sometimes you don't. So I figured, you know what? I'm going to come up with a little bit of a who's who of who Keith Stewart is, the director of fun. I figured, you know, the audience deserves to know a little bit more about me. So
a little deep inside Keith.
Yes.
I like it.
I'm extremely deep. You know, I'm not superficial at all, Al.
No.
Not whatsoever. So we'll go through some of these quickly before we get to break.
All
but
right.
Favorite golfer, Nick Faldo, right? Love me some Nick Faldo. Certainly Tiger Woods, Payne Stewart, close seconds, but Nick Faldo. Clubs that I use, Titleist. Number one ball in golf, number one club, too. Been great to me, been a sponsor of mine since 1999. Love those guys. Favorite course, Pine Valley. Was taken down there for the first time in 2009 by a former member of mine, Perry Rogers. God rest his soul. Just a tremendous man, and he opened my eyes to what a true golf experience could be.
Hmm.
Favorite training aid. People ask me this all the time as an instructor. Love the Smart Ball from my good friend Martin Chuck. Love the Hanger, and I love the Orange Whip. All good things. Favorite swing on tour, right? Tommy Fleetwood right now. Love Tommy Fleetwood's action. Great. And for those of you who are not into the golf realm, we're going to hit some other ones here. Favorite hobby, my kids and family, for sure.
Right.
Here we go. Long putter, do we believe in that? Yes or no? Yes, I believe in the long putter. Do I think new rules are needed in golf? Yes, I do. Am I for or against Patrick Reed? I'm against. Tiger or Phil? Tiger. Favorite food, grilled cheese. You know, my wife once gave me a book, The World's 50 Greatest Grilled Cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And unbelievable cuisine. Love it. Favorite movie, Shawshank Redemption. The best. Favorite band, Grateful Dead, of course. Favorite shot on the course to play. I love to putt. Think there's nothing better than putting. You know, I'd be a good partner to you and your windmill, Al.
That's right.
All right? I can see
so.
You were nodding. You were trying to get that in.
Yep.
I stole your thunder there.
You did.
All right. Least favorite shot in the course, a 30-yard pitch.
Mm.
There you go, Robbie Fenton. All right. And will Tiger win another major, yes or no? Well, of course, yes. Everyone knows that's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
So, you know what, Al? There's just a little fun about me.
I love
and,
it.
And you know what? It's hopefully... That shows you that, you know, I have a little thunder to share.
You do.
There you go, right? Well, hey, you know what, folks? It's 3:15 here in New York. It's 12:15 for our friends listening on the West Coast. Thanks for listening to Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. More thunder in 60 seconds.
Thunder, feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder. Thunder, feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder.
The New Jersey Golf Foundation, the charitable arm of the NJPGA section, is committed to positively impacting lives and communities through the game of golf. With a focus on three core pillars, youth, military, and special needs, the NJGF delivers dynamic programming under the guidance of PGA professionals, so individuals from all backgrounds can experience the game of golf in a welcoming environment. To support the NJGF or learn more about programs and special events, visit njgolffoundation.org. That's njgolffoundation.org.
Outkick the coverage!
Hey, it's Clay Travis of OutkickTheCoverage.com. I'm sure you already have a morning routine. Mine used to involve feeding children and changing diapers, but in an unfortunate twist for my wife,
ain't nobody got time for that.
I no longer have time for that.
I hate you.
Outkick the Coverage has come to your radio every weekday morning, whether you want it or not.
Weekday morning, 6 a.m.
So join us when you wake up.
This is 920 The Jersey.
Let's get back on course as Springdale Golf Live continues on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Once again, Keith Stewart.
That's it right there. Welcome back, folks. It's Springdale Golf Live. You're listening to Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. That's our song of the week there, Imagine Dragons, Thunder. And it was in honor of our special guest we have this afternoon, Al, a good friend of mine on the phone right now. We have Steve Scott, PGA professional, head golf professional for the Outpost Club, former Met area head professional. And, you know, at one time in 1999, Steve Scott was the number one ranked amateur player in the world.
You were telling me that off air. Yeah.
Yeah. The guy's an unbelievable golfer and he's an unbelievable grower of the game. His whole family does it. His wife, Christy, she's a LPGA instructor. I mean, you know, the Scotts are golf and we're so happy to have them on Springdale Golf Live. Steve Scott, how are you? Welcome to Springdale Golf Live.
Good afternoon, Keith. How you doing?
Hey, man. Any better, I'd be you. You know, it's great to talk to you. You know, we haven't caught up in a while since you moved down to North Carolina. And if this is the way we have to do it, then so be it. I mean, a couple thousand people can listen in on you and I catching up.
No, really, really happy to be a part and talk a little golf this afternoon.
Yeah, we're gonna cover some really, really fun stuff. And let's start first with this, the Outpost Club. So you left the Met City area, and now you are the head professional, and you relocated down to North Carolina. And you could have really relocated anywhere. I know you went down there because you love that area. But what is the Outpost Club? Because we're so used to the conventional, like, Springdale Golf Club. You know, there's this brick-and-mortar place, and now you're the head professional for the Outpost Club. Tell my listeners what the Outpost Club is.
We are a national golf society. We have members all across the country and even the world, for that matter. We run north of 70 events throughout the year at architecturally significant golf courses, all from your best resort venues like Pebble Beach or Sand Valley or Stream Song to some great private clubs that you would really love to play. And, you know, we just have a really fun time doing it. The camaraderie amongst the membership is great. Everybody really understands the game, its history, and they love architecture, and they love the camaraderie that the Outpost Club brings.
Well, you know, I have three or four members that are members of the Outpost Club, and that's all they ever say is they love going to these events with all these like-minded golf lovers and golf course lovers, and they have such a great time. So if someone approached me now, could they still join the Outpost Club?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We, we're happy to speak with anybody who's out there. And, you just have to love the game. And if you know one of our members, that helps. But we just have a great time. And, you know, you can reach out to us through our website, www.outpostclub.com, and inquire about whatever you'd like and see a little bit about what we're about.
Awesome. Well, thanks for that information. Now, along those lines, you've also had some information coming out lately on social media that I saw about the Silver Club Golfing Society. What is that all about?
Yeah, the Silver Club Golfing Society, really excited about this. It's going to be our Outpost Club team is working on this as well, and I'm taking the lead, and it's going to be a competitive golf society that really, you know, we really want, it really blends competition at amazing venues around the country. You're going to have a membership-based group that's 7.9 index and under. You know, an event calendar supported by high-end sponsors. We'll have a points list. We'll have a season finale event at the end of the year. You know, we have a few major sponsors. Global Golf Post will be one of them, and they will be our media partner and blast out a lot of great information. But you know, we really want to be a society for serious amateur golf, and you know, we think. With our connections at a lot of the great clubs around the country, we're going to be able to have some really fantastic.
Well, Steve, you know, that sounds really great. And folks, we're on the line here with Steve Scott, PGA professional, University of Florida graduate, and just last year, I believe, he won the 2018 Met PGA Horton Smith Trophy and a section award. And it's along those lines, Steve, that, you know, you've played golf at the highest level on the PGA Tour. You've been head golf professional at a couple private clubs. You've done TV broadcasting, and now you're an ambassador for a large group, and it sounds to me like you're starting another one. With all of your experience, how can you and I as PGA professionals continue to grow the game?
We can really continue to grow the game by just making it fun. At the end of the day, you know, people out there, people say that the game of golf and the memberships are dwindling and courses are closing. But, you know, people still want to, you know, they're still out there and they still have expendable income to spend for golf. But, you know, they want the experience to be great. And, I think, you know, something with like we do with the Outpost Club or, you know, going playing great venues, I think is really paramount to the game growing and, you know, just the camaraderie that golf brings, go out there and play with good friends and just really enjoy the day. That's kind of what it's all about. And that's, I think, how we grow it.
Well, that's cool. So you mentioned something in there. And again, folks, we're talking to Steve Scott here. Steve, for you, what is this golf experience that you keep talking about? You say, well, there is this great golf experience that the Outpost Club tends to provide for their members. What, in your words, what is a great golf experience?
A great golf experience is just playing, you know, venue. You know, number one, I think the venue is really important. If you have a great venue, that really gets your juices flowing to play. But then, you know, just as important or more importantly are the people who you play with. And so, you know, if you can have people, whether they're good friends or they're friends that, that you will make along the way, people who really are like-minded people who really, you know, you can talk golf history or architecture or, you know, just to, you know, share in a great time and, you know, you have great weather if you go to go to venues at the right time of the year. That's what the golf experience is about, just enjoying the game. And, hey, you know, if you play well, that's even a better bonus.
Playing well is certainly a nice bonus. Something that you've done throughout the course of your career. Let's see here. 3-time NCAA All-American. 2 times on the Walker Cup, number one ranked amateur in the world at one point. And then just most recently, because, you know, some of that is a little while ago, but just most recently, you won the Carolinas PGA Section Championship. And so congratulations for that. So it sounds to me like you're still golfing your ball pretty darn good. So in winning that, take me back to that day, right? Tell me a little story about winning the section championship this year.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough, this being the first year down here in the Carolina section, I just had a pretty good run. We played at Harbortown Golf Links where they play the RBC Heritage Classic, incidentally, which I played earlier back in April, so which really helped me. I was familiar with the golf course and, just played it was really hot the end of August, toweling off between every shot, but maybe that, kept my focus on one shot at a time and things just kind of worked out, and I played very consistently, and beat a few guys by a shot, and end up winning Player of the Year in the process. So it was a pretty good run of things.
That's a pretty good twofer. Now, did I read correctly that since you won the section championship, now you get to play in a couple PGA Tour events?
Yeah, so the Player of the Year and the section champion, both with three PGA Tour events total in the Carolinas. I'm going to be in the Wells Fargo Championship next May, which is actually right after the National Club Pro, and then in August I will play in the Wyndham Championship over in Greensboro. So yeah, I get to tussle with the big guns for a few times and play for a $7 or $8 million purse, and not gonna mind that too much.
Well, there you go. And you know what? Speaking of all that money and going after the big guns, if you need a caddy that's mildly entertaining, I know one up here, maybe on the other end of the radio, they'd be happy to help you out. But you think about that. All right. Now,
yeah, we could do a radio show right on the course there. It'd be good live broadcasting right there.
Yeah, it would be like Caddyshack all over again, you know? Put the radio right in the bag. Okay, in all seriousness, folks, we're here with Steve Scott. He's been playing some good golf, and more importantly, he's been growing the game with the Outpost Club and now this new Silver Club Golfing Society. But about 2-3 weeks ago, we had the Ryder Cup. And you being a former Walker Cup player, and I think you're the perfect person to talk to about this situation because you're also a PGA professional and the PGA of America runs the Ryder Cup. You played on two Walker Cup teams, which is essentially the U.S. puts an amateur team together and Great Britain and Ireland puts an amateur team together. Now, you played in a home one at Quaker Ridge and you played in an away one in Scotland at Nairn. So can you give some advice or give some perspective on why our Ryder Cup team tends to struggle and maybe what we can do to get better moving forward?
It's really simple, and it's all about we don't play enough alternate shot golf over here in the foursomes matches. We play virtually no foursomes matches at all in amateur golf growing up. It's all either individual, very few four-ball events, but it's mostly individual. So, overseas, what's very common is they'll play a four-ball match in the morning at clubs, and then they'll play a foursomes match in the afternoon because that's the way you have to play because, pace of play. You get around that second 18 much, much faster if you have four people but only two balls in play. And I can't tell you how many times, in the Walker Cup, I played I was partnered with Jonathan Bird, and we played against Paul Casey and Luke Donald. Jonathan and I were shooting pretty well. We were one under par through about 14 holes. And we end up conceding the match on the 15th hole because Luke Donald and Casey had a putt to go 7 under alternate shots. So they were really familiar with that format, and we just don't play enough of that over here, and we need more events like that.
Geez, I wonder where those guys ended up, Paul Casey and Luke Donald. They don't sound very familiar.
I don't know. You vaguely hear of them.
Yeah, every once in a while. I think Casey's tied for third in the CIMB or whatever. But you know what? I guess I could ask him the Ryder Cup question because he just played in it. But that sounds like an unbelievable experience. But, overall, though, how does someone like Tiger Woods only win one Ryder Cup in his whole career?
I think Johnny Miller said it best. And, whether for better or for worse, Tiger Woods was not wired from birth to be a team player. I mean, I think it's as simple as that. He was not wired to do that. As an individual in singles competitions, he's been much better. He's had a winning record, Ryder Cup alone, and then obviously U.S. Amateurs and whatnot. But Ryder Cup alone, that was his only winning record ever. And he's had losing records in the other formats. So he's just, unfortunately, just not a team player, which has made him amazing as a professional golfer playing, by himself for himself.
Well, I think that's some really good insight, and it sounded much better coming from you than Johnny Miller, I have to admit. All right, Steve, I got to run here, but I can't thank you enough for calling in. I know we can follow you on PGAtour.com when you play in the Wells Fargo next year, but how can we follow along with you otherwise? Are you on social media? Do you have a website? Let my listeners know.
Yeah, I'm all over social media. Steve at Steve Scott PGA, Instagram, Twitter. You check out at Silver Club Golf on Insta and Twitter as well, and we're all over Facebook as well. So Yeah, we got all the social media avenues covered.
Awesome. Well, Steve, I really appreciate the time. All the best to Christy, JC, and Kaylee. All right? Take care down there.
Thanks so much, Keith.
All right. We'll talk soon, bud. Well, you know, Al, there you go. Steve Scott, you know, professional golfer, leading the way, growing the game through some different means, Outpost Club, Silver Club Golfing Society, and some great Ryder Cup insight. That was just awesome.
Yeah, great background.
Yeah, he's awesome guy. He sounds just, you know, like just like he did on the radio. He just sounds like that when you're sitting in his presence. And if you go out and play him, bring some strokes with you because you're going to need him.
I bet.
He's the best. But, here we go. Must be time for Doug Gottlieb. So it's thank you moments. Thank you to my listeners. Thank you, of course, to Steve Scott. Thanks to Al on the board. Of course, my Springdale Board of Governors, my friends at Troon, Ryan Stemsrud, our general manager, and most importantly, to all of you, my listeners. I'm heading to Springdale. Where are you headed? We'll let the tower be your guide. And from Wall Street to Winston-Salem, and all, of course, everywhere online, may you all have a Springdale day.
You've been listening to Springdale Golf Live with Keith Stewart. Keith returns to the tee next Friday afternoon at 3 on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.